In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Lord is not talking about the unnatural affection that mankind has one for another when he speaks about hating your father and mother. And I'm certain that all of you know that. He wants us to love one another. As a matter of fact, he has said that because you love one another, all of you will be known as my disciples. So we are to love one another, but what he means is that you should not put someone ahead in your affection, ahead of God. And you know, everybody has his apologist. I have never, as I've told you before, met a mother who didn't say to me her son was good-hearted. Every single mother, no matter how bad the son was, no matter what he had done, my son is good-hearted. How can that be? How can that be? And when you start to say things like that, it flies in the face of what God himself requires of you as a defining moment, to look at your child and say, my child is wanton, my child is less than, my child has transgressed, and so on. But not to say and make an apology, my son is good-hearted. Where was his good heart when he committed the act that he committed? If it was there, and if it was there in fullness, then the act would never have been committed. So why does the mother say this? And for this reason, and this reason alone, God gives us this word. If you do not hate when it comes to what I have said, anything that constitutes a deviation in behavior or in thought, if you do not hate that, no matter if it comes out of the mouth of the one that you love most in all the world, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. Now, all of us from time to time make this error. We always try to find an excuse for the behavior of the ones that we love. We all do that. But insofar as we insist upon it, we are sinners. Amos Rappin was one time put in a really tough situation because there was this kid that was involved with some people that were selling drugs. And of course, this kid was not, he was not prepared for what was going to happen. And so when things got very heated, people started shooting and he was one of those shot. Now think about the circumstances of his demise. He was in the midst of an illegal cocaine transaction. And he was shot to death. Now, good heart? Just, what do you think the parents said? And Amos Serapion, as I told you, he was in a quagmire. So what he said and what he explained to the people was, we are going to have a funeral for this boy. And we're going to have a funeral based on this, that while he was laying on the floor bleeding out and dying, he might have had time to say to the Lord, forgive me. He might have sought reconciliation. But do you see, to the very end, there are people that are going to blame everybody else. Oh, it's America. Oh, there's drugs in America. Oh, he fell into the wrong crowd. Oh, and then excuse after it. Rather than lay the blame at the child's feet and say every single choice along the road was leading exactly in that single direction and the conclusion, which was entirely plausible, the thing that we wished least to happen, that happened. That's what the Lord is speaking about. Think of your family members. All of you have one family member that's wayward. Every single one of you. You've got some nut in the family tree, hanging on a branch. And that person you may love. You may love them wholly, fully, completely. But you still must, in the presence of the Lord, say, error falls at your feet because you have transgressed. Error falls at your feet. And unless you set yourself aright, I can never be happy with you. You know, ask yourself why we love something. Why is it that we have an affection? Why is it that when we have a family and we're raised in a family, why do we have affection for one another? Well, I'm familiar. That's the first thing that somebody is going to say. I'm familiar. I was raised with that person. But why? What is it about that person that is admirable? Do you think about that? What is there in that person to admire? What is there in that person that makes you look at them and say, without you, my life would be impoverished. I would be poorer if you were not in this world. You see? Why is it we love? It's not a natural thing to love outside your family. It's always them and us, isn't it? It's those Palestinians, or it's those Jews, or it's those Serbians, or it's those Bosnians, it's those, I could go on and on and on. The Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda, slaughtering each other. Now we hear about some Syrian group, an ethnic group from Syria, being wiped out. We hear all kinds of different things, don't we? It's not natural for man to love. It's natural for man to love what is familiar and comfortable, what makes him and his flesh feel rewarded, but it's not on principle. You may have a scoundrel in your family, or you might have married one. You know, it's the clarity of Christ that brings what we really mean when we say love to the picture. Because how can you love someone who treats you badly? You don't. You are asked by the Lord to love that person, but you don't. As a matter of fact, when things go wrong in your family, you point fingers at everything outside the family. Other things are responsible. You never stand in front of a mirror and start screaming at yourself, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this other thing. And yet, what do you think you're going to do? This is why the Lord has said to make friends with your conscience by the way, lest it deliver you over to the just judge. Because on that day when you are judged, your conscience is going to speak like a flowing river. You did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this. You knew better. You read the Bible. You heard the preaching if you didn't read the Bible. So, the Lord reminds us this. And why? Now, hasn't he called us the light of the world and the salt of the earth? And what about if the salt loses its flavor? What does that mean? What is it that gives us the preservative? Because that's what salt was used for. What gives us that preservative? It's the word of the Lord that endures forever. And if that is maintained inside us, then this thing is going to be such an antagonistic voice that when we do something that is bad, we aren't going to get any satisfaction. We're going to feel lousy. We steal, we lie, we cheat, we cut corners, we do all those things. But if the Lord's word is deep inside you, you can't have happiness. This is how you tell somebody is godly. You know, to be guilt-ridden is like having the biofeedback mechanism of pain response. When people have leprosy, one of the things that they do or accompanies it, they lose all of the sensation in their extremities first, and then it goes, and so they bang their toes into things, or they bang their fingers into things, and they lose them. You don't realize how much you bang your hands, but when you bang it normally, we feel ouch. And the ouch keeps us alert. I saw one time a child that was born without feeling. And at the time she was on this medical show, she was about 8 years of age. They had to remove all of her teeth, both sets of teeth, as soon as they came in, because she would just chew her tongue off. Can you imagine not knowing when you were chewing off your own tongue? She was blind in one eye because she had simply scratched her eye into a bloody orbit. And so she had to wear gloves on her hands, and she wore looked like a little miniature welder's mask over her eyes to remind her. Her mother had to look at her every single hour because she might have fallen and broken a bone, and she wouldn't feel a broken bone. She would just start to walk with a limp. Wouldn't have bothered her. So guilt is a biofeedback mechanism for your soul. And if you do not have the Word of God inside you, then you have lost this sensation of pain. You can do every vile and ugly and terrible thing, and you will not have any response to it. Like a man who puts his hand on a hot stove and hears the sizzling and turns to look, because it was the hearing of the thing that alerted him to the danger. And so in the case of people that have a bad soul and do bad things, guess what prevents them from doing it? Other people talking. Other people talking. The noise of other people talking. But the noise does not come from within, because there is no dissonance. You see, when you have two voices at the same time, it's a cacophony. You can't hear what either is saying. You may pick up a word here or there, but the stream of the thought of either of them is hidden from you. If God's voice inside you is so weak and the lust of your own will is so strong, guess which is going to prevail? So God said, don't love. And he chose this. If he had said, don't love money. Well, there's a lot of poor people. I never had money to love. If he said, don't love to eat too much, well, there's some people that are naturally thin. They don't care about eating. My mother was one of those. She never gained more than more than 125 pounds in her whole life. And a lot of her life, she was only 100 pounds. 5'3½". That was my mom. Thin. Talk about, go without food, that was no problem for her, as long as she had a cup of coffee and a cigarette. So the Lord didn't talk about that, did he? He talked about something that was so deep inside us, so deeply ingrained. I've spoken about this many times, how much I love my grandson Joshua. But if Joshua does something wrong, I must not prefer Joshua and his feelings to the Word of God that is inside me. I must not. And somebody says, well, it's so easy for you to look at his faults and not your own faults. Well, of course, why not? Because the lust that is inside me is not that which is present in Joshua, or vice versa. So I do not feel the bind and the restraint of any lust that he has. All I see is the action that is wrong, so it's easy for me to correct it. But when I am in the middle of my own lust, then the voice of the Lord, just as I have given you many examples, it becomes quieter, because it's a cacophony at best. He's speaking, the lust is speaking, there's an argument going on, I'm agitated. But at the end, because lust always dissipates, lust always goes away. Think about the last time you bought something for yourself that you really wanted. Think about the time that you bought something that you really wanted. Add 5 years to it. Add 5 years to it. All of a sudden, it seems inconsequential. Think about a pair of shoes, new pair of shoes. Got to have that new pair of shoes. Got to have that new pair of shoes. Okay. A year later, I don't want those old shoes. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So the voice of the Lord is maintained. It has its own energy and power that is not dependent upon you. If you are truly a vessel of the Lord, then these things as a repository equal the salt that he's talking about. What is the salt that is not fit for the dunghill? And by the way, you know, I always thought this was hyperbole. I never bothered to look it up. You know what hyperbole is, right? It's overstatement. Hyperbole means overstatement. Lytotes is the opposite. It means understatement. Underwhelm, overwhelm. Exaggeration, diminution. All right, so I thought the Lord is trying to make a point that this stuff isn't even good for where fecal matter is. If you don't know what fecal matter is, think manure. If you don't know what manure is, think poop. Everybody knows the word poop if they don't know the other two words. It's not even good for poop. What's poop good for? Poop is good for fertilizer. In Southeast Asia, that's how they fertilize the rice paddies. The family collects its poop and they put it in the rice paddies. Yeah. They collect also the poop of the bigger animals, like the ox, which are especially used in places like Burma. Well, they don't call it Burma anymore, they call it Myanmar. But the fact of the matter is that when you add salt, it breaks down that material into two separate compounds which aid the growth. But if the salt has broken down itself, then it can't even be used for something that is such a low-born material. What in my house I used to tell the kids, it's called X-food. There's food and there's X-food. X-food is the food you no longer need, so it exits. The idea is that the word of God that is in you, if it is alive, it is salt. And if the word of God that is in you is dead, then it is the salt that has lost its flavor or its savor. I like savor actually better. Some kind of the English is messed up on so many versions of the Bible. Savor is better. Because savor means what? Savor means responding to appetite. In Spanish, sabor. Sabor. S-A-B-O-R. Huh? And it means to enjoy. That there's something savory. It's an enticing thing. And that's the word of God. The word of God should be enticing. It should be something that satisfies the human hunger. It should be something that we can use for the good of everyone and not just ourselves. But if we have become the repository for salt that has broken down, we're not worth much, are we? So, I leave you with this, because what is the word after all but Jesus Christ? The Logos, the living word of God. And if we receive him, and we receive him truly, then he must be first. He must be ever present. He must be not the voice that we try to quiet, but the voice of our lusts, the voice of our passions. Those are the things. Sometimes lust, people always think in terms of lust as they think of in one single category. But there was a great movie about the artist Van Gogh. If I pronounce it the right way. And the movie was called Lust for Life. Somebody like Zorba the Greek in Kazantzakis' work. Somebody that wants to swallow life whole, that loves everything about life. When he wakes up in the morning and he gives thanks for the sun and the sky and the wind or the rain or whatever condition it happens to be, that he's living on a a sphere that is orbiting in the blackness of space, yet where he is, it's green and it's wonderful and not barren, and is enthusiastic about all sorts of things. Well, this kind of lust is not misplaced unless it is ill-directed. And if it is ill-directed, the only way to get back on track is to listen to that voice so often squelched by other things, the voice of the Lord. May we all listen to him. Glory be to God forever. Amen.